this session, we'll discuss some research that reveals a common thread across all qualified applicants in the Air National Guard recruiting environment. This is something everybody in recruiting would like to know. The one single characteristic that all qualified applicants have in common. So, what is it? The irony of it is that even in old-school recruiting, people knew that this existed. The problem was they tried to create it. And when they tried to create it, it led to manipulation and lack of trust, and it then became real old-school selling. It's simply this: a relative sense of urgency on the applicant's part to solve a problem, fill a need, or get what they want. Qualified applicants may need, for example, extra income, job training, or experience, or to enjoy any of the benefits you promise as part of the Air National Guard recruiting opportunity, but they want to receive it now. However, let us clue you in on a little bit of a secret. You're not going to create that sense of urgency through transparent ploys like, "This bonus program won't last forever," or "The job you're interested in may not be here tomorrow unless you join today," or anything like that without running the risk of at least eroding, listen to this, if not totally destroying the trust and mutual respect between you and your applicant. Now, what you want to do is guarantee a long-term relationship between the two of you that goes beyond gaining an accession. It includes turning a new recruit into a fully trained and drilling Air National Guardsman, and if all goes well, a unit member who will stay around until they are eligible to retire and who will provide you with many referrals along the way. That's what we're talking about when we say a long-term relationship. So, the interesting question then becomes, what do you do if you're in front of a lead and they don't have a sense of urgency about joining the Air National Guard? Well, you could say something like this: "I have an opening in the career field you showed interest in, but I also have someone else interested in the same job, so you need to make a decision today or I'll be forced to offer it to this other person." Do you really think that's going to win the commitment if the lead is not yet convinced about the overall recruiting opportunity? It's too old school. Now, some of you may be listening and saying to yourself, "We do have limited openings, and in some cases, I only have one or two slots available in the more attractive career fields." Let me say this. First, be sure that everything you say to your applicants is true, and be careful how you choose your words. For example, there have been documented cases of recruiters trying to create a sense of urgency by telling a lead or applicant they only have one opening in a particular career field. Fearing the loss of this opportunity, the person agrees to commit, but with some hesitation. However, when they report to their gaining unit, they discover there are a dozen vacancies. Guess what? The recruiter flat out lied, and this new unit member is starting to ask him or herself, "What else did the recruiter lie to me about?" Be honest with your applicants. If you do have limited openings, try wording your comments this way: "The career field you're interested in is one of the most sought-after jobs in the Air National Guard. Presently, we do have an opening. However, every day recruiters in the Air National Guard are talking to people just like you about similar opportunities. Therefore, the job could be filled through another recruiter at any time. Nevertheless, I'm not going to pressure you for a decision right away. First, because I don't do business that way, and second, because we do have other good jobs you could qualify for. However, I can block the one opening that's in your first choice of jobs for a day or two while you think it over. Does that sound fair?" Wording it as we just did, we're not putting the applicant under the spotlight to make an immediate decision. We're giving them some time, but it's a reasonable set time to make up their mind. By the same token, we're also letting them know that even if they don't take the first choice, you have other good opportunities for them to consider. Now, compare that to saying you've got to make up your mind right now to an applicant. Still not convinced? Pretend the applicant is your son or daughter processing through another recruiter. Would you want him or her pressured into a decision? Now what do you think? So, let's take a look at a few possible solutions that might help you. 1. You need to understand the decision-making time frame of your applicants. How do you do that? Simple. You ask them. For example, in the investigate step, you ask, "If the Air National Guard can provide you the opportunities you're looking for, how soon would you be interested in joining?" If the lead or applicant says right away, you know he or she has a relative sense of urgency. However, if he or she says 2 years down the road, you know the relative sense of urgency just isn't there. This person will not have all the characteristics of a qualified applicant because they don't have a relative sense of urgency about the decision to commit. it's time to look for some people who are ready to join within the next 60 to 90 days at most. 2. You need to be working above the fray. When it comes to prospecting for the right leads, you need to have a viewing point instead of a point of view. Know where and when to place your prospecting efforts with each target market is far better than throwing up a lot of mud, hoping that some of it will stick to the wall. In other words, you must look at the big picture first from high above the market before you get down into the weeds and fine-tune your efforts within each target segment. 3. You need to automate your efforts. The Air Force and the Air National Guard have invested many dollars developing automated tracking programs, and you have multiple computer software programs at your disposal to assist you with your recruiting activities. Use these tools to remind you to develop and keep a presence in your market that's regular and consistent, and be constantly visible to your leads. But do it in ways that don't require a lot of stubby pencil effort on your part. Use email, direct mail, and phone calls to stay in contact with your leads and applicants on a regular basis. 4. Cultivate leads with the help of your influencers. This is the process that allows you to contact your influencers with their approval and permission. This is particularly critical when working your school visitation programs or building support among business and community leaders. You can send your influencers a broad range of informative materials that they can use to advise their students, employees, or constituents. Here are a few examples of the types of information you can provide. Articles projecting the future costs of college education, combined with information about the Air National Guard's educational assistance programs. Informational materials about the jobs and high-tech training available to members of the Air National Guard. Good news stories about local guardsmen who attended one of your assigned schools or who work at one of the businesses in your recruiting territory. Studies showing advantages of hiring guardsmen. News stories about how the Air National Guard comes to aid of the local community as well as supporting our national defense. Each time one of your influencers receives this type of information, your name and the Air National Guard reach top of consciousness. That continually positions you as the best alternative for them to talk to one of their students, employees, or constituents when they're ready to commit. 5. You need to know what a failure on your applicant's part will cost them if they don't act now. See, lots of times your applicants don't know they've got a need or an urgent problem unless they're educated about the fact that they have a need or an urgent problem. Now, that doesn't mean you manipulate them, but you do have to educate them. Surprisingly, lots of applicants simply don't know the cost or downside of failing to make a decision. Now, instead of telling them what the cost will be, you need to master the skill of getting them to tell you what the cost will be. For example, let's take a look at a non-prior service lead or applicant who plans on getting a college degree. Without some form of scholarships or educational assistance, you'll have to pay the cost of your education on your own, either with money already saved or student loans, correct? Assuming the applicant agrees, follow up with a question like this: how much money do you think you will owe by the time you finish your education? Believe it or not, this may be the first time your applicant has ever really crunched the numbers. You can continue to educate your applicant by pointing out interest rates on college loans and having them figure those additional costs into the equation. Pretty soon, your applicant will start to figure out just how expensive college is and that they ought to be thinking seriously about how to offset those costs. Here's another example, this time with a prior service applicant. I see you served 6 years in active duty. What did you enjoy most about that experience? While some leads may tell you that there's nothing they enjoyed about active duty, those situations are rare. Why? Because if they were totally dissatisfied with their active duty experience, they probably wouldn't have agreed to talk to you in the first place. Follow up with questions that dig deep into what the person did enjoy about their military experiences and ask them how they're replacing what they gave up. If the person hasn't found a replacement for what they enjoyed most, you have an opening. 6. You also need to stay alert to potential changes regarding the applicant's ability to continue processing. Situations change frequently in people's lives. Applicants get engaged, divorced, married, injured, arrested, change jobs, develop new interests, and get contacted by your competition. All of those events can impact their eligibility, interest, or timing to join the Air National Guard. You have to remain in constant contact with all your leads and applicants. Be aware of these situations. Not knowing an applicant is engaged and planning a fall wedding during the exact time you planned on sending them to basic training stems from a failure on your part to discuss timing of their desire to join the Air National Guard. Furthermore, even after processing has begun, not continually asking an applicant questions about their eligibility status, only to find out too late they were recently arrested for driving under the influence, is allowing yourself to be blindsided. You simply can't let that happen. Now, there's one single clear thread that winds its way through each of the solutions that we've talked about. You'll notice that the thread is not creating a sense of urgency, and it's certainly not building a sense of impending doom, both old-school selling ploys. Instead, it's the role that knowledge and education and understanding and wisdom play in your recruiting success. It's being able to understand your applicant's world by asking questions to educate yourself and gain valuable knowledge. It's looking at your recruiting market and developing prospecting strategies from a high-level viewing point instead of a tactical point of view. It's also learning about how to use your automated applicant tracking systems and computer software programs that keep you in constant touch with your target markets. It's also cultivating new leads with the help of your influencers by educating them about what their students, employees, and constituents are facing in the future and how the Air National Guard can provide assistance. It's also educating your leads and applicants about what they stand to lose if they fail to act on the Air National Guard recruiting opportunity. And lastly, it's staying on top of the changes that take place in the lives of your leads and applicants that could impact their eligibility and timing to join the Air National Guard. None of what we talked about is armchair work. It's all physical and mental hard work. Contemporary 21st century recruiting is all about knowledge over manipulation. It's being able to unfold benefits one at a time versus dumping benefits all over the place. It's finesse over power and sophistication versus overly simplistic tie-down or closing questions that insult your applicants. Yes, the game really has changed. But talking about it and knowing what those changes are two different things. The truth, though, is certain things have not changed, and they never will. And one of these is that a lead without a relative sense of urgency cannot become a qualified applicant. Furthermore, remove a recruiter's desire to learn more and ask the right questions and implement 21st century strategies, and you don't have a qualified recruiter either.